Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie to find out more.
And you will never walk alone. Well, you might walk alone, unless you want to join Liverpool into the European Super League. That is their slogan, of course. Mas que un club, more than a club, that is Barcelona. To do is to dare. Sarah McInerney, that's your club, Tottenham Hotspur, because I know you love their style of play. But do these slogans, I wonder, do they ring a little bit hollow today with the talk that 12 of the top clubs in the UK will break away and form some kind of a European Super League? Is it greed, as Sarah was saying? Or is it really a different kind of business model, but a progression of the business model they have, because this is a global business? We'll talk to Ray Houghton later in the programme, but let me know what you think about this. 51551.
First this afternoon, a 29-year-old man appeared in court today charged with the murder of his partner Jennifer Poole in Dublin over the weekend. Gavin Murphy from Coultrie Drive in Ballymun is accused of the murder of Miss Poole, 24, at her home in Melville Drive in Finglas on Saturday afternoon. Miss Poole, a mother of two children, died in hospital after the attack at our home. Our crime correspondent Paul Reynolds joins us now on the line. And Paul, remind us, if you don't mind, of the background to this case.
Yes, Sarah. Jennifer Poole was a 24-year-old mother of two young children, a boy aged 4 and a girl aged 7. She was attacked in her home in Melville Drive in Finglas in Dublin last Saturday afternoon. The neighbours heard screaming. A man was seen jumping off the second floor balcony of the apartment and fleeing the scene at around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The Gardaí were called and they found Jennifer fatally injured. Attempts were made to resuscitate her at the scene. She was brought to Connolly Hospital but pronounced dead there a short time later. She had been stabbed to death. Now, her youngest child was in the apartment at the time. Her daughter was with relatives. The Gardaí began a murder investigation. They arrested and questioned a man within 3 hours of the attack, and he was charged with murder in the early hours of this morning. Jennifer was well known and loved in Finglas and Ballygall in North Dublin City. She was a camogie player with the local GAA club, Aaron's Isle. Now, the club set up a GoFundMe page to raise funds for her funeral and for her children, and so far, over €50,000 has been donated. She's described on that site as a fun-loving, happy, hard-working young mother, sadly missed by her mother, father, brothers, sisters, and her two young children.
And what happened in court today, Paul?
Well, we heard from Detective Sergeant Damien Mangan. He gave evidence of arrest charge and caution in Blanchardstown District Court. He told the court that he arrested Gavin Murphy at 17 minutes past 11 last night. And when Mr. Murphy was charged just after midnight, 4 minutes past midnight, with the murder of Jennifer Poole at Finglas Guard Station, he made no reply. Gavin Murphy is 29 years of age. He made no application for bail. But the judge, Gerard Jones, pointed out that a bail application in a murder case can only be made in the High Court. Now, Mr. Murphy's solicitor, Michael Hennessy, said that he'll have to undergo a mandatory 14-day quarantine in custody due to COVID-19 before he can apply to the High Court for bail, but he said that he would be making that application. There were some friends and family members of Jennifer Poole in court today for the brief hearing. Gavin Murphy didn't speak at all. He just sat in the dock. The judge granted him free legal aid after he was told that Murphy was not working. He remanded him in custody to appear again by video link at Clover Hill District Court next Friday. He also directed that Gavin Murphy be provided with all appropriate medical attention in custody during the period he's in Clover Hill.
All right, Paul Reynolds, thank you very much for that.
Now, 51551, if you want to contact the programme this evening, the plans for a European Football Super League involving 20 elite teams has succeeded where many have failed. It succeeded by uniting the fans of rival clubs in their opposition to it seems. As we heard earlier, even the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, has rode in on this one, stating he's very much against the plans for the creation of a Super League, declaring football is a game for everyone. For more on this, I'll be talking to Ireland and Liverpool legend Ray Houghton and UCC lecturer in sports economics, Dr. Declan Jordan, that's in just a moment. But first, Drive Time reporter Fergal Keane took to the streets of Dublin to see how the proposal has gone down.
You're a soccer supporter, the Super League, what do you think?
I tell you, it's too much money for the rich teams, and all the teams in the championship, the lower divisions are just going to lose more money. So I don't know, it's the rich are getting rich and the poor are getting poor, so what can you do? I tell you that, so it shouldn't be going ahead.
Would you continue to support your team if they join it?
Well, that's what I'd say, yeah, my heart's with Liverpool, so hopefully things work out there.
you're a Liverpool supporter, a season ticket holder. What do you think of the Super League?
I think it's a bit of a joke. I don't think it's going to go ahead. Nope.
Why not?
Because of the history of Liverpool, even Manchester United, they're all local and it'd be old-fashioned. We're an old-fashioned club. This new Super League won't work. Part is travelling, which they wouldn't have the money to do it.
You go over to Liverpool several times a year?
Regular season ticket holder, yeah. They go to Croke Park and All Ireland, and that's what I go to Croke Park as well. It's like going to Croke Park All Ireland Day, only it's every week.
I think it's a disgrace. It's all about greed and money. And the league in England is ruined anyway by superpowers. The people that run and own the league, the football clubs in England, have no interest whatsoever in football. It's just out and out money. Yeah. And I see one of the main men in the Super League now, vice chairman, is one of the Glazers, who owns Man United. And also the Real Madrid president is going to be chairman. So it's all wrapped up.
Do you think it'll go ahead?
I don't think so. I hope it doesn't. Right. I hope it doesn't.
I think it's a ridiculous grab for money. They're forgetting the fans.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see how the German clubs aren't participating because they're mainly fan-owned. So this just seems to be the big boys trying to grab all the money.
If your team joined it, would you still support them?
My team's in Scotland, so they don't have a chance to do so. But
I think it's terrible. I think it's they're letting all the rest of the clubs down. Every club in England now is going to suffer from this. It's not worth it for the amount of matches they're going to be playing. There's not enough teams there. Week in, week out, it won't be a week in, week out like it is now at the moment in the Premiership and in the Championship and in all the lower leagues.
Would you still support your team if they join it?
Oh, well, I'll be supporting my team, Leeds United. They won't be in it, so I don't know where they're going to be.
You're a football supporter. What do you think of the Super League?
I think it's just a great, pure great, not that great. Football's been taken over with money a long time ago. You heard the FA saying that we're not going to allow them players play for the national teams. Manchester United we had nothing without our fans. And there's hypocrisy. Who owns the club? Where's the fans thought of now? Well, it'll be the same teams every year. There'll be no promotion, there'll be no relegation. So what have you got to play for? It's just a pure greed.
Do you continue to support your club if they join it?
No, absolutely not.
Who is that?
Leeds. That's easy for me to say, isn't it?
He's a great man to be supporting Leeds still, some would say. Anyway, really strong views there and real genuine views as well. If Fergal's Vox Pop is anything to go by, there's going to be huge fan opposition to this proposal. For more on this, I'm joined by Ray Houghton and Dr. Declan Jordan. You're both very welcome to the programme. Ray, I might turn to you first of all, seeing as you're a Liverpool legend. Liverpool are on their way, if this proposal gets its way, into this European Super League. And of course, you were there when the English League turned to the Premier League. What do you make of this?
I think still a long way to go. You know, obviously it was massive news yesterday when it broke. We heard from fans, as we just heard there, and from ex-players. I didn't hear one positive person coming out in favour of the European League. Everyone's of the same thought process, which is purely down to money. Now, it's fairly evident. Players' wages are going up and up. To buy a player, the fees are going up and up. If you look at the money that they generated from overseas rights and domestic rights, they were far lower than they were 3 years ago. So the money's going down, and these big clubs are wanting to bring in the best players, pay the biggest wages, pay the biggest transfer fees. They're not going to go and borrow any more money. They're not going to spend any of their own money. So they're looking to generate money from somewhere, and they think it's through the European League. That's how I see it at the moment.
But, and I think you're bang on the money there, but why do you think fans are so upset? Because it's always been about money.
Well, it has been. Well, yeah, I think since the Premier League started, personally, before that, it wasn't. I don't think it was.
Yeah, but in the last 10 or 15 years, Ray.
Yeah.
This is business.
I tend to agree with you to a certain degree. But this is something that they should be looking at long term ago, and that is players' wages can't keep spiraling out of control the way it's been at the moment. You can't keep paying the transfer fees that people are asking for players. At some stage, these owners of the big clubs have got to turn around and say, we're not paying it anymore. This is the ceiling in wages. This is the ceiling when it comes to a transfer fee. It's up to, you know, the players whether you're going to come to your club or not.
So you're saying looking at the trend in the Premiership for the last 10 or 15 years, this is a commercial inevitability.
Well, that's the way it's been looking, hasn't it? I mean, yeah. This isn't the first time that there's been talk about a European Super League. We had it a few years ago. They were, you know, contemplating that then. Yeah. And obviously, it didn't get off the ground because there was no one really wanted. The fans didn't want it, as they don't this time around. So who's it going to benefit? Well, it's only going to benefit the big clubs who are going to generate more money, who are going to be asking. So how do you pay for it? Either for advertising revenues, I take it, or through subscriptions or TV companies.
Well, that is I think that is fascinating analysis, Ray. Stay with me if you don't mind, because I'm going to ask the man with the abacus, the lecturer in sports economics, Dr. Declan Jordan, if he agrees with Ray Houghton. Declan, do you?
Oh, I couldn't disagree with Ray Houghton, one of my heroes. I think the way it's framed at the start in the programme, you know, whether this is grubby greed or natural progression, I think, you know, it's both, right? It is grubby greed and it is a natural progression. It's a natural progression because football, as an industry, is becoming increasingly global. It's becoming increasingly a television experience rather than a lived experience, you know, where fans, I mean, you're talking to fans there on the streets of Dublin, talking about my team, us, we, and I would suggest, apart from maybe from the season ticket holder, that many of them don't go to the football ground.
They can't afford to, I suppose.
Well, they see, and even
some
then
of them maybe.
In the UK, more and more of the experience of going to football is almost like a West End ticket now, right? I mean, And clubs and players are becoming almost like Hollywood stars. This is now a global product which is consumed globally. Asia is the market. America is the market. And clubs are looking at that and they're saying, well, you know, if we can get bigger games, bigger TV audiences, and more merchandise that way, then we'll generate the money.
Talk to me about the figures involved here, or at least the business model, Declan, that's involved here. Why would Liverpool, for example, or any of the UK clubs, or Real Madrid or Barcelona for that matter, or the 20 or so clubs across Europe, why would they want to pool together here in a special Super League across Europe as opposed to playing their bread and butter matches in the UK or Germany or whatever?
Well, before you go into the numbers on it, you have to remember as well that there's a game theory going on here, right? So this is almost like the standoff in a spaghetti western. Mm. Each club is looking at every other club. Do I stay in this league? In the league, if they go and it's a success, what do I do? The leagues know they need the clubs as a draw to get the TV money for them. The clubs know that the leagues need them, right? So there's a we'll be using this in economics teaching in a couple of years' time as a classic strategic positioning game, right? but it is big money. I mean, you're talking about they claim $3.5 billion, $400 million for each club, irrespective, and they can't be relegated. I've seen on Twitter quite a few people saying, well, if Spurs and Arsenal are going to get beaten every week, they might as well get €400 million euros while they're getting beaten. But so it is certainly big money and big TV revenue. It's a much more attractive proposition in the markets like in Asia and in America. Whether the leagues get tough and prevent these clubs from playing in the national competitions, I think maybe that's the only way to stop it. And I think they might do that. But it's throwing up a lot of issues that really people have to think about in terms of where football is going.
Yeah, could they proceed anyway? Before we get back to that point, could these clubs, like Liverpool or Man U or Man City, say, well, to hell with the Premiership. I don't care. We'll probably make more money anyway in this European Super League.
I think they would initially make more money, but I think over time it would be the same clubs playing each other. Also, what would it mean for players if players were to go there? I mean, what will happen, as happens in every, well, it's not just football, in most professional sports, mm-hmm. as they get more money, they give it to players. Players get paid more and more. The hunt for this scarce resource goes on. I mean, that's where it's going now. It's large billionaire owners paying money to rich players, and that's going to happen again. And I don't think the model is sustainable over long term unless there is some national league progression from the national leagues or some involvement with the national leagues.
Let me go back to the Rays.
There's just a factor we've got to put into the mix here as well, which is usually important for footballers, maybe not for clubs. We've heard it a few times, but playing international football is still usually important. And if you take that away from the players, because UEFA ban you from not being part of their league, but part of a European league, and you can represent your country, you're going to have major problems that way with the players. So how are we going to factor that in? And what are the clubs, these super clubs going to do, the elite clubs going to do then?
They're not going to ban. Ray, can I put this to you? They probably won't ban them.
Well, that's what they're proposing at the moment. That's why, like, it's any situation like this is only going to end in one place, and that's in court. And then we'll see who comes out on top.
Can I put this here? Why would UEFA ban the cream of the crop from international football and diminish the international game?
Well, that's something that, well, they're looking at their own product at the moment, which is the Champions League, and that's going to be devalued because the elite, if you like, of teams, particularly Barcelona, Real Madrid, Liverpool, Manchester United, Manchester City, Chelsea, all these big sides that can generate the revenue for them are no longer going to be part of their, you know, product. Mm-hmm. So they're going to lose out there. So, you know, they could quite, you know, I don't know if legally they'll be able to do it, but that's one of the proposals they're looking at. And if that is the case, and they do, it does work in their favour, and players are not allowed to play international football, they're going to have a major problem, these elite sides.
Let me bring you some of the texts. 51551, a listener says, I thought with Brexit that the English teams wanted to leave Europe. A bit of tongue-in-cheek, I think. Another listener says, boycott the TV network showing the new league. And one more, Niall says, funny move by English clubs in light of Brexit. It's the same kind of text. Can I ask you both, and I'll start with you, Ray, on this. You heard the Vox Pop at the very top. I and other football fans completely deluded to be supporting these clubs then? Am I wrong to be pledging any sort of loyalty or love or allegiance to Manchester United, as the case may be? Because it's certainly not a two-way street here, I think.
Well, the club that you supported, whether it be Liverpool, Manchester United, had a rich history. And what that was about community. It was about having local supporters, and then it became a wider audience, as we just heard a little bit earlier. And that's why, like, Asia and America are so interested in the English game and the English clubs. But you mustn't ever forget the 65,000 that goes to, or 75,000 goes to Old Trafford, or the 60,000 that goes to Liverpool, are local people who earn a decent wage, but not a huge wage, and their life is their football club. I know people, I go on the train to Liverpool matches, who go every week home and away to support their team, mm-hmm. and they spend all their hard-earned cash watching their team.
But are they deluded, is my question, Ray? I'll tell you why I raised the question, because absolutely anybody who goes to Old Trafford or any of the other stadia in the UK, they pay their hard-earned cash, as you say, and they absolutely love the team they support in the jersey. The difference is the club, and it's quite evident now, the club sees them not as fans, as customers from which they can profit. Isn't that the truth of it?
Yeah, well, that's where the clubs have to really think this through about what they're doing. Because, as we said, if there's another subscription fee, who's paying it? The fans. The fans are the ones that have to stump up the money once again. And at the moment, with everything that we've been through in the last year, with the pandemic and the fans not being at grounds, still having to pay their season ticket money and support the club the best they can, have a look around at the clubs all around the world at the moment who have had to furlough players, the lower leagues, teams are going out of existence, and there's this elite group who think they're so much better than everyone else and want to break away and earn more money, while everyone else, all the other clubs around the world and here in England, I can only talk about the English clubs that are struggling day to day to exist. Let me tell you, the fans will soon be at breaking point and turn around and say, they've had enough.
If they're not at breaking point already. I have one more question for Declan Jordan. But what does the average Premiership soccer player, Ray, earn at the moment per week?
I think it's something in the region of 45,000, 50,000 a week. That's average.
And the stars can be as high as $250,000, can they?
$250,000, yeah.
Wow. A week. One more question for you, Declan Jordan. A colleague of mine told me that you're quite happy Treaty United are not joining the European Super League.
That's right, my new club. I mean, I feel sympathy for the fans that Ray describes there. You know, the local fans, the real fans of English Premier League teams, who now look at their clubs and are seeing, really, my club sees me as a customer rather than all that I've put in. But I think from an Irish perspective, I sense this could be a tipping point. There could be a reaction to this. I think from fans who now realise, who might bring this into relief, that this really is a television experience I'm having. and may actually seek a more authentic experience, a more real football experience. And as a League of Ireland fan, I'd urge them to get down to their local ground, where their support actually makes a difference. They shout for their team, and their team can act, the players can actually hear them behind them. So can the referee, of course, right? So you can actually influence the game. I think in England as well, that will happen too, where more fans now look to the lower division clubs, looking for a connection with the players, a connection with the club, through their community, rather than what is becoming more and more a type of a Hollywood experience, I think, okay, where you have these very high paid players who really are unrelatable to everyday fans.
Okay, it's a fascinating conversation with you both. A legend in UCC, Dr. Declan Jordan, and a legend for Liverpool, Ray Houghton. Thank you both very much indeed.
You.